This is the hour we will take your phone calls with William Forstgen as we talk about his latest work, 48 Hours. We're talking about the power grid. We're talking about CMEs from the sun. We're talking about EMPs from nations that just don't like us. So stick with us, make the call, and we'll be back with you in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, along with your calls. William Forstgen, our special guest, 48 Hours, his latest book that just came out. Sort of like a trilogy, isn't it, William?
Actually, it's a whole new story. The original trilogy I did was One Second After, about EMP. This book, 48 Hours, right now it's a standalone.
Okay.
It's about something infinitely worse than a CME or an EMP. And it's real. It really could happen. And if so, like I said, we could be darn near into an extinction-level event.
See, I think the best novels are based on real events that can happen.
Right. This is not science fiction. This is the real deal.
Sure is. Sure is. Now, as we have been moving forward to try to get some kind of legislation passed about this, one of your champions was Newt Gingrich. He's on the outside looking in these days, but is he contributing still to trying to get this done?
Oh, yes. He is committed as ever. He just, within the last month, 6 weeks, he was in the news commenting yet again on the issue of EMP and CME. In fact, it was Newt that first got me started on the topic back in 2004 when he was discussing with me the congressional report that nobody bothered to read.
And, I mean, can he help get this done?
He still has a lot of clout in D.C. There's a lot of good. In fact, Mark Meadows, whose name came up as possible chief of staff, he's my congressman. I've actually sat down and talked with him over a cup of coffee about the issue of EMP. He's 100% behind getting legislation passed, and not even he can do it. And Mark is one of the more powerful members of Congress now.
Well, maybe that'll help. I mean, we should get it. Other countries, are they doing anything to insulate their power grid?
I was just talking with somebody earlier today who knew a bit about Israel, that Israel has put an awful lot of effort into this over the last 20 years to secure itself. Other countries, doubted. Maybe some aspects of the grid. Now, I would add that since the last time since you and I talked, I've chatted with a couple of people in relationships to some things DOD is doing, that some military bases are now looking at essentially being internally driven, meaning they can cut themselves off from the internet, actually physically, so no wires going in and out, and also their own power system, which is hardened, so that some bases in the United States still would be operational. At least that's a first step.
One of the big problems, of course, the transformers, the big, huge transformers, we don't have enough to replace them.
Oh, gosh, George, you see them going down the highway, you know, about every month or two, wide load, you finally come up and it's this humongous transformer. America, this statistic always freaks me out. America only produces 15% of the primary components for its electrical grid. The significant components, the large transformers, high-end equipment, you have to pre-order a year to 2 years in advance.
And aren't they made in China?
Yep. The analogy I like to give is, suppose you and I walk in to see Franklin Roosevelt on December the 1st, 1941, and say, Mr. President, you know, we have a good, pretty strong feeling the Japanese are going to come at us within the week. And the Secretary of the Navy says, oh, we'll be able to handle it. And our response is, hey, the only problem is all our aircraft carriers and all our planes are made in Japan. Should we order some extra parts now before it hits?
Before it hits. Because let me tell you, if it hits and we're vulnerable, China's going to say, well, we just can't get you any transformers.
Put in an order about 5 years from now. We'll get around to it.
We'll get, yeah, exactly. Meanwhile, we like California. That wouldn't be bad little annex.
Yeah, yes.
Unbelievable. I just don't get it.
It's incomprehensible.
Well, what might our Joint Chiefs of Staff, I'll tell you one thing. About a month ago, there was a newspaper story that broke about this. Mm-hmm. And I went, hallelujah, somebody's finally picked this up. It's not just us. But then it faded away.
Yes.
But you would think the Joint Chiefs of Staff would jump on this, too.
Yes, you would. I remember when 1 second after my first book related to this came out, a friend of mine in the Pentagon said a 3-star was yelling about the book, saying people should read it. And he said next day there was a couple hundred copies floating through the Pentagon. Yeah, there are people individually who see it, but ultimately you have to get to the power grid, the utilities, either through federal or state legislation to get them to move. And I am utterly mystified as to why they don't do it themselves.
Do they not believe the fact that it could happen?
Some people, yes. First time I went to Raleigh to testify on this some years back, it was pretty enraging to have one of my state senators just snort and say, oh, so we're supposed to go trigger some legislation because of your sci-fi novel. And did I want to have a Tourette syndrome meltdown right there?
Yeah, exactly. Let's go to the phones. Wayne in Chicago, welcome to the program. Wayne, go ahead.
Hey, thank you for taking my call.
Sure thing, Wayne.
Yes, I have a question to ask your guest. Has anybody ever walked up to a senator like face-to-face, like Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, and asked her, why are you not for protection of the grid? Now, for all the people who listen to Coast on a regular basis, what I'm getting ready to say does not sound crazy at all. This could be a New World Order globalist agenda, whereas they put at least 1, 2, 3 senators in place to block protection of the grid, and that's their New World Order when we finally get hit. Everybody does whatever they want us to do after everything's over. That's the New World Order right there.
What do you think of that, Bill?
Well put, sir.
He's right.
It's something you and I always, when you and I are together and we're doing a program, we always implore the listeners, contact your state representatives, contact your member of Congress and the Senate. For heaven's sake, at least do something positive in relationship to the power grid to protect it from an EMP or a CME.
I didn't even see it come up during the 2016 presidential election.
It was in the party platform for the Republican Party, and Newton was the one that put it in there.
Was it buried?
Yeah.
I mean, because they didn't talk about it at the debates.
Oh, no. It was far more about who's a liar.
Jeez. Blair in Sedona, Arizona, your turn. Hi, Blair. Go ahead.
Good evening, gentlemen. At a 1992 auction, I won a 1928 Atwater Kent radio from the estate of Orson Welles, William. The size of a large bread box with glass globes called vacuum tubes that I hear can prevent this kind of disaster. So I'm asking you, what about decentralizing from the grid to individual home power sources?
Well put, expensive, highly recommended.
And some places are working on that.
And if you have the financial capability yourself to disconnect and to make sure your own internal system in your house is hardened, do it.
Isn't Elon Musk working on a system for the individual home?
Yes, he is. I'm fascinated by that guy. Anybody that can throw a car at Mars, he's okay in my book.
Yeah, excellent. You know, I'm not all in favor of driverless vehicles, but the guy's brilliant.
Yes, he is.
Indeed. Nancy in Victoria, Texas. Hi, Nancy. Go ahead.
Hi.
Hey there.
Hi, Nancy.
Hi there. I have a question for the guest.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so my question is that has William thought about spreading the awareness through social media like Reddit, Twitter, change.org, GoFundMe.com, all the other sites that a lot of millennials, including myself, that are shall we say, woke to what's going on in the world. And and even if you mention, you know, the power grid on Reddit, it's going to spread like wildfires all over that site to
Well, you mention it for us, Nancy. Run with the ball and mention it on Reddit and these other places. Go ahead and do it.
Yeah, you know, Nancy, I'll confess, I kind of feel antediluvial. I'm actually, like I mentioned earlier, I fly antique airplanes that are older than me. I am clueless when it comes to so many things related to the internet. But if every listener out there, particularly millennials, who that's where you guys live, if you tweet or twit or whatever back and forth and you get the word out there and start conversations going, that could turn the tide.
Somebody sent my granddaughter a Facebook clip of the power grid story. So it was out there somewhere, but you need a campaign, an ongoing campaign to get it out there. Are you on YouTube at all, Bill?
Yeah.
All right, good.
In fact, I'm on YouTube with you.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are on our YouTube.
And also some other programs I've done, yes.
Let's go to Phil, truck driving in Washington. Phil, go ahead.
Yes, good evening, gentlemen. Say, I would like to bring up December 27th and what you know about the blue lights in arcing in Louisiana, and then right after that, the blue lights that arced in the substation in Auburn, New York. And what can you explain about what that possibly actually was besides just a transformer popping? I've never heard of a transformer popping and turning a brilliant blue color in the sky.
Actually, I've seen it. We had a humongous ice storm when I was going to Purdue University 20 years ago. And just about the entire grid went down for weeks. And some of the larger substations, when they start to blow, you felt like you were in the middle of a war zone. The explosions and these brilliant blue light that would flash up for a couple of seconds from the substation going down. So it is tied into just simply you're having a short off in a major power source.
What's interesting, too, is some of the nations that don't like us have been experimenting with trying to get into the power grid to shut it down via the web.
Yes.
That's another problem, too, William.
Yes. We are so vulnerable.
Oh, my God. Yep.
Yeah, a thought came to me. My daughter just got married a couple of months ago, and I'm just thrilled. He's a wonderful guy. Now, imagine if you and I are talking. I said, you know what I got them as a wedding present? I bought them a car. But guess what? I got $500 knocked off the price of the car because they pulled the airbags out and we sold them. What would you say to me? What kind of sick person are you to give your wife and her new husband a car where you've pulled the airbag?
Yeah.
All of America is driving around right now without airbags when it comes to our electrical grid.
That's true. Absolutely true. And they won't know how bad it is until it happens.
Mm-hmm.
And then it will be a disaster. ATMs, everything. We're talking days. Food shelves will be, you know, barren after a couple days.
Conference I was at several years ago, the projection was a full-blown event. The grid could be down for as long as 5 years. And even then, at the end of 5 years, only 20% will have been restored. And I'm sitting in an audience with 400 or 500 people, many of them technical experts. Nobody was standing up saying, you're crazy, that's not true. There was like silence, and somebody quipped, well, what the hell, with 90% of us dead, 20% will take care of the rest.
Yeah. They will die too.
Yeah.
Valerie in the state of New York, in New York. Go ahead, Val.
Yeah, so there's a PBS Nova special. It was done by NASA scientists, a certain bunch of NASA scientists, and people can go on PBS.com and watch it. But the main thing they said was that all towns and cities have about 3 days' worth of food.
That's it. Yep. You're right.
So And they said it's going to take up to 10 years to replace all the big transformers. And they said they were made in Europe, which I would trust them more than China to make backup transformers. But so they don't have any, they said, really, there are no, that's what they said about, I think, 6 years ago. But so they said that all the gas stations, they used to have a manual backup, but they don't anymore. They're all dependent on the electrical grid. That means none of the food, nobody can get gas into their truck or ship or
everything shuts down. You're right.
Yeah, everything. So everybody will starve to death. They said within a year, but if you only have food for 3 days, it's more like about 2 months.
Exactly. Thanks for the call. And Bill, what good is filling up your tank when a week and a half later there's no more gas to fill it up again?
Well, beyond that, any car made, particularly after about 1990, and if you have a Prius or a Tesla or whatever, you're cooked because the computer systems in the car can be shorted off as well, and you just got a hunk of metal. So it'd be nice to have a 1963 Volkswagen somewhere.
It would be nice to have a bicycle with you. Anthony's in Iowa. Welcome to the program. Go ahead, Anthony.
How you guys doing this evening?
Good, thanks.
A little bit earlier, the guest had said something about Congress wouldn't approve, and I completely agree with that statement. The current shutdown that we're going through, they had alternate means discussed, and they still said no about, you know, lifting the government. And anybody that brings up anything about, hey, there's a possibility of this happening, we're considered conspiracy theorists or doomsday preppers or anything like that. So they just do anything and everything they can to shut us up.
We got to send Alex Jones to Washington, William, and let him scream on Capitol Hill.
Absolutely, yes.
Get him behind this. And he's the type of guy to go up to a senator and say, why hasn't this been passed?
I can say with some confidence that the president is aware of the situation, wants to see it addressed, but it's way down there on the priority list compared to the wall.
It's like insurance, and unless you're mandated to get it, if you have to have it for your car, you get it. But if you don't need it, they're not going to get it.
I'm always that type that, if I suddenly realize my insurance has lapsed, I'm almost petrified until I get down to the insurance agent and give him a check.
Exactly.
Something's going to happen between here and there, and he's going to say, well, that's tough, Bill.
We're going to come back in a moment here on Coast to Coast AM and take final phone calls with William Forstgen. His latest book is called 48 Hours, and you can get his website link to the books by going to coasttocoastam.com. We will be back. And welcome back to Coast, our final segment with William Forstgen. William, just hearing that ad from my friends at My Patriot Supply, a lot of people say that your work has triggered the prepper movement. What do you think of that?
I've contributed. That's the way I look at it. I mean, there's a lot of people that were working on it long before me. You mentioned the key person, Dr. Pry.
Mm-hmm.
To me, he's the godfather. I wrote a novel to popularize, to get the word out there, that people start talking about it, and to make that book and my current book, 48 Hours, as realistic as possible.
How did this first come to your attention?
Hanging around with Newt Gingrich one day, on the day that the congressional report on the threat of EMP was released, was the same day that the congressional report on the 9/11 attack was released. All of the media is at one end of the town. Nobody's at the other end. Newt was, and I were talking about it, and he pushed the idea, maybe what we need to do is get a book out there that brings us to the general public. And it took me 5 years to get around to it and find the right kind of story, but I wanted to make a story that all of us can identify with about how we and our family would react in a time of crisis.
It's almost no way you can react. If the grid goes down, eventually everybody's going to get it.
Yes.
I mean, you know, you might be able to survive a week or 2 weeks or a month, but eventually everything collapses.
It's nevertheless, I urge everybody, it's my mantra, have at least a month's worth of supplies on hand, no matter where you live, in the city, north, south, whatever. And it's not that expensive. You're advertising an excellent product, for example, or people can even start by just picking up cans of soup, taking 2-liter bottles, setting water aside, buying a simple water purifier for $25.
All short term, though.
Short term.
It's short term.
But it can help get you at least through the first 2 or 3 weeks when it's going to get very, very bad out in the streets within a matter of 48 hours.
But then doesn't it get worse?
Yeah.
That's the problem. I mean, this is, I think, you convinced me of this 10 years ago. I didn't know anything about this until you came along, that this is the biggest potential crisis that we as Americans face. Beyond possibility of conflict with other nations, beyond anything, this is the biggest. And, you know, just earlier this week, we as a government warned Iran about missile launches and space launches. We didn't threaten them, but we warned them. We told them to stop doing it. And I think between you and me, Bill, this is one of the reasons why they're not telling us, but I think they're concerned about Iran detonating a nuke in the atmosphere.
When the government of Iran and also the government of North Korea specifically states, we will EMP you. Remember about a year ago, the North Koreans put out a
video. Yeah.
Yeah.
Animation.
A movie about it.
Yeah. Let's go to Deborah.
Patriotic music, their patriotic music was playing, showing America going dark.
Yeah.
I think it's time to take that serious.
Let's go to Ocean Springs, Mississippi. Hi, Deborah. First time caller.
Hello.
Hey.
Good evening. Yes, it is. I've listened for a long time.
Well, thank you.
I have a pacemaker, and I've had a complete AV node ablation, cardiac ablation.
Oh, boy.
I'm totally 100% dependent on the pacemaker. And there are so many things that I don't even think about, you know, that could affect it. Like, I bought some bathroom scales in December, and then nothing in the advertising, but then in the package, the instructions said, do not use if you have a pacemaker.
Oh, geez.
I didn't ever even thought of that. It's because it's supposed to measure the fat and water and your weight, and so and you can measure just the weight, which I've been using it to do that, but not the other. Went to a physical therapist, and he wanted to use some electronic thing on my feet. But do you have a pacemaker? I said, yeah. He says, but we can't do that. You know, I know about the airport security. I can't have the wand thing, and I have a card to show there. But the thing is, that's something I think a lot of people don't think about. I mean, that would be instant. I wouldn't have to worry about food and water.
Yeah, exactly.
There's no way to protect it.
And it would affect a pacemaker, would it not, William?
It all depends on how intense what is called the laydown is in terms of you know, how much energy per square meter hits. Whether you're in direct line of sight or not, there's a number of variables. So I could not predict accurately what would happen.
Right.
In fact, I would say your chances would be relatively good, at least short term, unless you were out right in the middle, outside, and you got directly hit with the EMP when it ignited. But even then, you wouldn't even know it initially. You might see the nuclear flash out in space, but it's not like
you might not hear it.
Yeah,
you're not going to hear it.
None of that's going to get you.
Deborah, how do they change your battery in a pacemaker?
It's about 7 or 8 years, and you have to go back in. And from what I understand, the hospital has a exterior pacemaker that they would hook to you. Well, my doctor said, you know, it's only seconds. I mean, they're ready to put the other one, plug the other one in as soon as they unplug that one.
So you don't, literally, you don't miss a beat.
Sort of, yeah. That's what I kind of get the picture of. But It's just something that I know there's no way I could protect myself from it.
And how big is it? Is it like a couple inches?
Yeah, well, my incision's probably about 3 inches maybe, but maybe 2 inches. I don't know.
And how thick is it? I mean, is it very thin, the pacemaker?
I don't know. I can feel a lump where they put it in. And
oh, you can. I mean, if somebody touches it, you could feel it?
Yeah. Yeah, a little lump there.
All right. Well, keep ticking, all right?
Okay.
Well, maybe people just should mention the pacemaker more often.
Got that right. Thanks, Deborah. The other thing, too, William, what about the 120-plus nuclear power plants that would melt down the power goes?
That's a nightmare.
That's a scenario worse than everything.
Because it's even if they scrammed the plants in terms of shutting them down, it's the waste that's being stored at the plants.
And it's the meltdown.
Problem decades ago.
Yep.
And it's one of the plot points I wrote into my new book, 48 Hours, where they're saying, well, once the CPE is over with, we can come back up and everything's okay. And somebody else points out, yeah, but all the nuclear power plants, they'll start cooking off, and you'll have fallout all across the country.
East of the Rockies, Kelly's with us now in Richmond, Virginia. Hi, Kelly. Go ahead.
Hey, I used to be an electronics tech, and I've done electrician work, and I think there's something being missed here. In the Carrington event, there were railroad ties that were caught on fire by the surge of
that's right.
Current.
You're right. Absolutely
and
right.
We are now wired up where our buildings and our vehicles are honeycombed, and I've seen what electricity can do those wires. They'll not only fry them, but they'll catch everything that they're touching on fire. Can you imagine a whole city on fire? You better get out of the cities because not if the fire doesn't get you, the smoke from a whole city burning at one time, it's going to be deadly. And then you just hit on the nuclear power plant. So I want you guys to talk about that a little bit. It scares me when I think about that, you know.
I'm getting depressed.
Well, you know what? Let me tell you something. In 2020, the next presidential candidates, whoever they may be, whether it's Donald Trump and another person, they should make this a major issue because I think the American public will start waking up and will start cheering a politician who starts doing something that's smart and right.
That is definitely something I will be working on. Again, I don't want to inflate myself in any way. I do know a couple of people that are on the White House staff. We've already talked about this. The president is favorable to the issue. It's not on the top priority.
Well, he's got to move it to the top. And let me tell you another thing that would happen. When we were talking about a Star Wars defense system, Russia, Soviet Union at the time, raised holy H. They went ballistic. Because we were going to build a defense system, not an offensive, but a defensive system. They didn't want us to do it. They almost thought it was an act of war. If we started insulating our power grid, what do you think Russia and China would say or do?
I don't care what they would
do. No, I agree, but what do you think they would?
Oh, there would be some sort of reaction.
They would say, what are you planning? Well, you're planning some kind of attack on us, too? And if our power grid's not insulated, you're going to launch knowing that yours is protected? That's how they think.
But, you know, I don't worry so much about Russia or China because the old, from the 1960s, MAD, mutual assured destruction. You do us, we do you. But suppose you have a psychotic running North Korea or Iran, they don't care if you do it back.
They're suicidal.
They're the ones I'm really worried about.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, given the odds of an EMP or a coronal mass ejection from the sun, which do you think is going to occur first? You can't say, I guess.
Can't say.
You can't say. See, I would guess that a solar flare from the sun, a big one, an X flare, could happen faster than an EMP, because I think nations generally understand what you just said, mutual assured destruction, And even the rogue nations, I think, would think twice first, because they know what the repercussions and ramifications will be. The sun doesn't care. When it goes, it goes. I don't think there's any control over that. At least with an EMP, man can control whether it happens or not.
Yeah, in my new book, 48 Hours, I have a couple characters discussing that, probabilities. What are the probabilities of this or that CPE? And my main character, named Carrington, after the original Carrington, said, you know, when you got all of eternity and you have the entire vastness of the universe, somebody's going to get it almost every day, and it's happening to us today.
Let's go to Daniel in Wichita, Kansas. Hi, Daniel.
Hi, George. Hi, William. I've got a couple points I would like to make.
Sure thing.
One, this is not new news. This is in the Bible, and the ancient Egyptians practiced this to store away food.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
And food basically was their grid, because they didn't have electricity back then. And they realized that in times of famine, which was, they planned for 7 years, they had to store food for the bad times. I've been called a nut for about 30 years, and I'm 65 years old come February. I believe this. People ought to take personal responsibility. I don't think the American people care, because they're buried in their electronics now. My children don't care. My grandchildren don't care. I have less than $25,000 invested in over a 10-year period with generators, with chickens, with stored food. And thank you. I believe people in the city need that stored food, because
They
can't do what I do. But I live in a city of 300,000, and I have about an acre. I have seeds. I have a well with a hand pump. And I believe in taking care of myself, that now I'm getting up in age, and my health is not real good. I wanted to be able to guarantee that my grandkids, my kids, you know, could exist when it's not just a electrical problem. We could have a virus. We could have the way the government is going, we could have civil war.
Oh, sure.
We would have to be more dependent on ourselves. I want to make one other comment.
Mm-hmm.
My grandmother, God bless her soul, was from Germany. And she came over here right after World War I, and she went through famine. And this woman used to put mason jars and pickle jars, all kinds of glass jars under a drip in the faucets that might have dripped once every 15 seconds. And she stored all this
water. Wow, brilliant lady.
She knew what it was like.
Yeah, and a lot of people who didn't go through the Depression, you know, many of us did not, don't know what it was like during that time period either, William. But I got to tell you, we got to do something about it. And one of the reasons why I think the world of you is because you don't give up, and we're not going to give up. And I can assure you that at any time you need to get on to tell us about this message, or with Peter Pry, who's been on the program before, you have a platform on this national radio show.
And I deeply appreciated that for 10 years. We've been working on this 1 second after. Came out 10 years ago next week.
I look in the eyes of my grandchildren,
mm-hmm.
and you say, we got to do this for them.
Yes.
There's no other way around it at all. The book, 48 Hours, where do you get it? All over the place?
All over the place. Released yesterday, and they're flooding the market with it. So you can almost trip over them at the moment.
All right, my friend. Be well. Keep in touch with Tom, will you?
Okay. God bless, and thank you so much.
That's William Forstgen, of course. His new book is called 48 Hours. Up next, it's called My Search for Christopher on the Other Side. This is going to cut right at your heart, folks. We'll be back.